If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology. It's Thursday, March the 27th, almost at the end of March, almost in the beginning of April. Where has the, where's the winter gone? I'm Jim Hedger calling in from the boardroom of MetaMen.com, and I'm joined by Dave Davies, who's just down the road from me over there at Beanstalk Dash Inc. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
I'm doing just great this morning. How about you, Jim?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, a little bit of controlled chaos. At the beginning of the show, but I think we got it together.
Well, that's all you can ask. There's always a little bit of chaos.
So, you know what, this is the first
time. It keeps the day interesting.
Oh, absolutely. It keeps you on your toes. You know what, this is the first time I'm doing the show via Skype. So, listeners, if you hear any weird noises, that's because I haven't figured out how to isolate the instant message noises that are flashing back and forth between me in studio and me and Dave. But we got a great show today. Weird noises aside, we have a very, very interesting show today. We're continuing our 10-part series on search engine optimization techniques, going from fairly basic to fairly advanced. And today we're dealing with, the flip side of the search marketing coin, paid pay-per-click as it relates to SEO. Dave, you put an article into WebPro News Expert section today on PPC as it relates to your business, and I guess that's what we're going to be discussing today.
We sure are, and we've got an interesting guest from a little closer to your neck of the woods here today. And I'm actually just posting in the Yahoo Live a link to the article because it does coincide with the show. And it's a really interesting topic to me, anyway. You know, obviously, and using pay per click it's great in and of itself if well managed. But using it in conjunction with an organic, or either in conjunction with an organic or to test an organic campaign, are two often overlooked aspects of the real usefulness of a pay-per-click campaign. And I think it does need to be touched on, and it's really, it can be invaluable. And, I mean, heck, I can use our own site as an example of a time when we didn't use it, and it was an extremely costly thing not to use, and it would have cost us a few $100 to do some proper testing.
And after doing that, you found that your conversions go up, your hit rate goes up, more people are paying attention to your site, etc. Now, before we actually dive into your article, and I just posted a link in the Webmaster Radio chat room as well. I'd like to cover some stuff that I've been seeing in the search media, and actually I blogged about this at the MetaMen blog the other day. If everyone goes to WebPro News right now, they'll see towards the top of the WebPro News page today a piece by David Utter. And now, I really enjoy David's writing. He's one of the top reporters they have working there. And I'm just trying to find exactly where the article is on the page right now. Today he writes that there might be a slight downturn in clicks through the AdWords system. Actually, there's a couple of them. He just posted one about half an hour ago. Market doesn't click with Google ad woes. I'm inclined to agree that there might be a small downturn in click rates, but I don't think that's indicative of a weakening in the SEM market. Dave, what do you think about this?
Well, now, out of the gate, unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to read the full article, so I may be speaking on areas a little different than necessarily what he covered. But I don't think that we're going to be looking at any specific downturn, as you call it, in the SEM market specifically. I can see some drops in, and certainly some future trends in drops in the click value, specifically to the search engines and in regards to what people are willing to bid. I think this is a good reflection of, A, the searchers becoming more aware of what is a paid versus what is not a paid click, the advertisers becoming more aware of how to track and how to sort of measure the ROI, so adjusting their bids and not bidding at certain times. But some aspects I think we need to consider here is I would bet, I don't know how much money, I would virtually bet my company on the fact that Google is not, we're not going to see any declines in Google. SEM and paid advertising by the search engines is still going to be a growing trend. We're just going to see a lot more diversification. We're going to see, you know, Google launching into a lot more demographic targeting, stuff like that. You know, they're already launching into radio, TV, print, blah, blah, blah. So I think we're just seeing a big diversification that's going to start spreading that budget around a little more and bringing it back into the real world as opposed to just the web world. I don't think the search engines are dropping. I think there's just a change. It's not that SEM is dying. It's just that it's changing.
Well, here's a few numbers I want to throw out here. These are based on the numbers that ComScore published towards the end of January. And actually, these are the numbers that caused a minor uproar in the investment community, the folks on Wall Street. Now, according to ComScore, Google saw 532 million AdWord clicks in the month of January 08, and that was a decline of 0.3% over January of 07, so a decline of less than 1%. Now, if there's 532 million AdWord clicks in January, which has 31 days, that means there was 17,161,290 ad clicks per day, which means it was 715,054 clicks per hour, 11,917 ad clicks per minute, or 199, almost 200 ad clicks per second. Now, that means that every second of the day, Google is directing website visitors, search engine users, to about 200 advertisements. That's phenomenal. Like, there is no other media network that comes close to delivering that kind of traffic volume. Paid search advertising is more than alive and well. It's actually growing, although it's not growing as rapidly as numbers in the past, as we've seen it in the past. I believe that ComScore released another report just earlier this week that shows Google's actually grown in February, in the month of February, over the month of February in 07. Now, as David from WebPro News rightly pointed out, February does have 29 days this month, but still, there was an increase. David, I think we should probably jump into your article. We have a guest, actually, who's waiting on the line, and it's Emily Spence from Inquisit. And we got to be kind to her. This is her first time on Webmaster Radio, so we've got to be nice this time. But before jumping into talking about Inquisit and how that helps SEOs with their PPC campaigns, I would very much like to talk about the article that you put into WebPro News today.
Okay. I can give sort of a brief summary overview, and then we can sort of go from there. Obviously, our listeners are more than invited to head over to WebPro News and read the thing in its full. It's, 3,000 words, took about 4.5 hours to write. So, there's some time that went into it. What really we're taking a look at is PPC can be broken down for the purposes of the article itself into basically three basic environments. One is where you're running the campaign for in and of itself and for the value that the pay-per-click campaign can provide. The other is kind of tied together with the first one, but in conjunction with an organic campaign. Now, it was actually Dave Williams from 360i and the white papers that they put out that really brought to light the fact that the rules involved there and what you need to track when you're running these campaigns together, when you're ranking organically and adding in PPC, what you need to track is fundamentally different than in the first case where you're just running a PPC campaign. And then my personal favorite, which is running a pay-per-click campaign prior to running an organic campaign, and that is for the purposes of really doing your keyword testing, making sure you're picking the right targets. And I used an example of from the Beanstalk site where out of the outset, you know, obviously we picked our name based on our keyword phrases that we were targeting, you know, on day one, which have changed dramatically. But we went after search engine positioning as the primary phrase, search engine positioning services as a secondary phrase. We had our secondary, or search engine positioning service, yeah, as a secondary. We had our secondary within 5 months, spent another 4 or 5 months working very hard to nail our primary. Stats started pouring in once we'd nailed our primary down, and it converted at a whopping 0%. The secondary phrase, the one with the word services, converted very highly. The one with the without it, just search engine positioning itself, over a span of a month, and then again the following month, converted at 0%. And by 0%, our version of a conversion is to have some sort of communications with us. So had we launched in on day one with a pay-per-click campaign, figured that out on day one, it would have essentially saved about 4 or 5 months of organic campaign time, which we could have then been investing in other phrases. We did end up moving on and ranking for other phrases later. We could have had all that traffic about 5 months earlier, and the converting traffic is far more valuable than the non-converting traffic. So it can be extremely valuable, and glad I learned that lesson early on, and got to pass that on to clients
to learn that lesson early on, and that was one of your first experiences with pay-per-click management, and luckily it was for your own company.
Yes.
In the lessons that you learned, if you were doing this again for the first time, if you were with one of those knowing what I know now then scenarios, what would you be looking for first off?
Well, in some cases, and we do have to run some tests with a lot of our clients. When we do head into any given campaign or looking, you know, even going back at our own, gee, if we had known then what we know now, when we hit scenarios where we have discrepancies between what I refer to as buy phrases, one that includes the words, you know, in our industry that includes words like services, in some industries the buy phrases are really obvious. It's like buy, you know, whatever ink cartridges, buy whatever online. When you end up with discrepancies, and you always will, between the generic and the buy phrases, if that gap between the number of searches per day or the estimated number of searches per day by whatever tool you're using, keyword discovery or whatnot, is sort of close enough that the generic is not a clear winner, then you need to run a pay-per-click campaign and figure out if the generic really makes sense to target or if you need to focus on the buy phrases. In the cases of, in our industry, looking at a phrase like SEO versus SEO services, both of them are highly searched. So if we were launching in at day one right now and we're trying to pick between those two phrases, I would definitely run a pay-per-click campaign and figure out which one of these two things is going to rank or is going to provide the conversions. I unfortunately had to figure this out the hard way. It's ones with the word services that do. But to go back and do it again, I would definitely have run a pay-per-click campaign and figured it out that way, saved myself many, many months of hard work with virtually zero ROI from those additional months.
Well, as you say in your article, under the keyword research section, just like organic SEO campaigns, PPC campaigns logically begin with keyword research. What are you using, Dave, to do your preliminary keyword research?
What I like to do when I'm doing any, be it organic or pay-per-click, I like to pull my data from two sources and you're looking for common trends. Now, PPC, you give a disproportionate, let's use Google AdWords, for example. the primary tool, I like to back it up using keyword discovery, but the primary tool we're going to use is Google's information themselves. You're never going to get better information, not to say that it's flawless, but you're never going to get better information than you're going to get from the source itself. So if you're running a campaign through Yahoo, you're going to use their tools. The reason being, of course, they know what their searchers are looking for, and so they're providing you the data on their demographic. Searchers on Yahoo do search differently. You are dealing with different people than searchers on MSN, and they are different than searchers on Google. And if you're going into the alternative search engines, they're an entirely different ball of wax altogether. So starting it out, I would highly recommend, and it's a pretty obvious step, to use the tools that the engine that you are advertising on is providing. Then I do like to supplement it with some information from from some third-party tools, keyword discovery. We've also recently started using, and I discovered them during the step one of this process, we've recently started using AdGurus tools. And what they really allow us to do is quickly and easily view what a specific site's competitors are bidding on, what their ads look like in a nice simple format. What that really enables is when my imagination runs out and I stop thinking and our clients stop thinking of maybe some new keywords, we can take a look at what their competitors are doing and what the core competitors are doing and figure out what they're doing. Now, sometimes it is going to coincide with exactly what we do. Sometimes they've thought of things that we haven't, maybe because they've been doing it for 5 or 6 years, and can often provide some interesting holes in the market where you can find some lower keyword things, or you may find some entirely different tactics as far as your on-site goes, and ways to market your website and some link bait that you might not have foreseen unless you take a look at a really hard look at what the competitors are doing in ways that you wouldn't see on their site, because these are sort of orphan pages that the competitors are using. These are pages that are designed just for the PPC, and that you wouldn't find just by navigating the site or through the organic results.
Okay, yeah, often people create landing pages to direct their PPC clicks to. They may be a landing page for a regional listing or a regional business. They could be a landing page for a specific product offered in that unique PPC campaign. Dave, did you see the notification Google put out, I think it was on Monday, stating that you can't redirect those landing pages to another URL, that the URL listed in your Google AdWords has to be the URL that the visitor ends up on?
You know what? That is, I did spot that. I spotted that, yeah, I guess just a couple days ago when I was in managing one of the campaigns. And it's so tough for me to decide whether that's a good or a bad move on their part, or from an advertiser's perspective. You know, it's nice to just be able to show sort of what you want of your specific ad. I do understand kind of why Google's doing it, to basically provide the same set of authenticity that they can in the organic SERPs where they're showing the actual URL. I think it does kind of tie the hands of the advertisers a little, or takes away a little bit of the liberties, but I don't think it's going to be any dramatic for normal people running normal-esque type campaigns. I don't think it's really going to affect them very much. I think there's some cases out there where it may, and where you're kind of trying to kind of mislead where things were directing. One thing I don't like about it is it does kind of limit in some ways a bit of the trackability and a bit of the ways that you can start to run the statistics and use add some limitations to what you can pull from third-party tools a little bit. But there are ways to react to that. There are ways to get around it, and I'm sure that all the third-party manufacturers, ClickTrax, et cetera, are going to react pretty quickly and make sure that they're up to speed and that they can then track things the way that we're used to them tracking when we can use specific redirects and stuff.
Well, it's funny you should mention third-party verification systems. just for listeners' information, we're running through the show very quickly. It seems this is one of those shows where it's just going faster than normal, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Based on the message I'm getting from the studio, I think it's about time that we go to break. But when we come back, we're going to have on the line Emily Spence, a representative of PPC Assurance, software suite that is well-positioned to become the leading independent third-party verification tool. And I'd like to talk with Emily and perhaps Richard, who's the president of PPC Assurance and Inquisit. I'm not positive if he's on the line or not, but I'd very much like to talk to Emily about what Inquisit and PPC Assurance are doing in the realm of third-party verification, and also how use of Inquisit or PPC Assurance can help pay-per-click advertisers. But before we're able to get to Emily and perhaps Richard, we have to go to break. We have to pay some bills here, just like in the PPC world. We have to see some income, too. This is Jim Hedger at MetaMend. And Dave Davies at Beanstalk-Inc. You're listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan from the Daily Search Cast. You know, we love bringing you the news every day, and that's made possible by the sponsorship of BruceClay.com. They've just made Inc. Magazine's list of the fastest growing private businesses. They've exhibited and sponsored at my conferences from the very beginning. Bruce has got that long-standing search engine relationship chart, had been out there with the code of ethics, been a search engine expert in the field for ages. But did you know that Bruce Clay can do more than help you with just SEO? They can do PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding. Everything you need for success in the online marketplace, you can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years, offices worldwide, they've got answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Bruce Clay Incorporated.
Don't be fooled by your web analytics. If you think your web analytics are giving you all the information needed to manage your paid search accounts, you'd be shocked to see what they're not telling you. How are you tracking sales received over the phone that resulted from your PPC ads? Now, you can track call-in sales by campaign, search engine, and keyword with Engine Ready Call Analytics. Optimize top spending keywords with more accurate tracking and achieve higher PPC profitability. Get started now tracking your PPC call and sales with Engine Ready Call Analytics. Visit EngineReady.com to see how easy and inexpensive accurate call and tracking can be. EngineReady.com.
Need help improving your PPC campaigns? Tired of spending all your time swamped with spreadsheets and manual updates? Turn to Adapt SEM software to optimize your campaigns and to reach your goals. Adapt SEM is one of the most affordable and reliable tools on the market for improving PPC campaigns. Adapt SEM not only optimizes your bids, but also gives you keyword suggestions, competitive research, and helps to test ads, all in one place at flat rate pricing and no long-term commitments. Learn how Adapt SEM can help manage your PPC campaigns better. Check out our free webinar at adapt.com/webmasterradio. Sign up now for a free personal tour. adapt.com/webmasterradio. SEO 101 class is now in session.
Mike Moran, author of Do It Wrong Quickly, How the Web Changes the Old Marketing Rules.
Marketing was a very dangerous profession, a situation where you were taking a big chance. That's where people have grown up. The first thing we do is usually wrong. The only way you find out is by trying things until eventually you lurch into the right answer. It's going to eventually figure out what customers need if they just pay attention to what they say and do, what marketers do.
New episodes Mondays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And check out their live broadcast Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Find Webmaster Radio now on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. Add us today from the WebmasterRadio.fm homepage.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Welcome back, friends. This is Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm for Thursday, March the 27th. We're continuing our series on search engine optimization techniques, going from the very basic to the slightly advanced. And today we're covering the pay-per-click aspect of search marketing. As listeners know, there's companion articles being published in the expert articles section at WebPro News, and today, my genial co-host, Dave Davies, over at Beanstalk-Inc., has written a fairly long article, 3,300 words. Way to go. You were up really late writing this, weren't you, Dave?
I sure was. It took me till about 2 in the morning. So
yeah, about 3,300 words. And I mean, this covers the A to Z of setting up monitoring and tracking your PPC campaign. And one of the things that PPC advertisers need to be aware of and need to be cognizant of is these are electronic systems. And in any electronic systems, there's going to be errors, there's going to be problems, and when real money is involved, I dislike dropping the F-bomb on the radio, but every once in a while, there's going to be fraud. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? And Dave, I've been complaining about click fraud for years and years and years. I think it's a scourge, a cancer in the industry, and one of the things that could actually stand in the way of us moving into the multi-billion-dollar channel that we all know search marketing, well, has become and it will continue to become. So I was really honored a few months ago when Richard Zwicky from Inquisit asked if I'd come in and you know, do some consulting with Inquisit with their PPC fraud fighting tool, PPC assurance. And again, actually, I've learned to dislike the fraud word because since using PPC assurance and working with these guys, we're finding that it's often mistakes made by the search engines that webmasters have to watch out for and not exactly fraud. But we have Emily Spence, a spokesperson for PPC assurance, on the line, and I think Emily will give a far better explanation of the software and its capabilities. Emily, welcome to Webcology.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jim. Thanks, guys. How's it going?
It is going excellent today, although as you know, it's Thursday morning, so things are a little bit discombobulated, or I guess Thursday afternoon for our Eastern audience. Now, Emily, you were just in New York at SES, the Search Engine Strategies Conference.
I was. Yes, I was. And you already gave me away. You mentioned earlier that it's my first time on Webmaster Radio, and so I am pretty new to the industry. So last week at the conference was really, really valuable for me. I just really love the people in the industry. It just seems like such an amazing community. I already feel like people have really reached out to me and made me feel like I'm one of the family, and it was a great learning experience, met a lot of really great people. So I have only good things to say about the industry so far.
Well, I mean, I think this, Emily, you are part of the family. Every time I go to one of these search marketing shows, I'm going to put in a plug for Search Engine Strategies and also for the SMX show that's coming up in Seattle in early June. When you go to these shows, friends, you are part of a thousands-strong family of highly intelligent, very friendly, and very loving people. And sometimes I think that's why I go to these shows. I'm not even sure if I go to these shows to learn anything. I go to these shows just to hang out with some of the best people in the world. And Emily, I'm so glad that you I saw you everywhere at the show, talking with everybody you could possibly speak with, and at some of the after parties as well. And I'm so glad you got such a good reception.
Ah, thanks, Jim. Well, that's just because you're everywhere at these shows, so I'm not. Definitely, you're. But I'm the first to put in a plug for SES and SMX. They're great shows, and I'm really having fun so far. So, but I guess back to PPC assurance. Now, Jim, you know, you were throwing out the F word earlier about fraud, and I guess I do want to emphasize that, you know, you also threw out some stats a bit earlier saying that, I mean, really, the sheer number of ads that Google and the other ad networks are serving out per second mean that they do make mistakes. And so it's not really about click fraud. It's about the mistakes that the ad providers are making, and they're not intentional mistakes. It's just because of the sheer size of what's going on. So what our service provides is a way, you know, PPC Assurance was really built to fulfill the need for a third-party auditor within the scene that can really determine that the clicks that you're getting are clicks that conform with the parameters that you set, whether it's geo-targeting or day-parting, and so that at the end of the day, you know that you're reaching your target market and that your money isn't being wasted. So it's not really about click fraud. It's about those clicks that don't match the parameters that you've set. For instance, if you only want clicks, if you geotargeted New York City, you're still going to get some clicks, you know, from Seattle, from LA, etc. And we're able to see when that happens, and we're able to immediately get you your money back for those undesired clicks. So that's essentially what we do.
How prevalent is this problem, Emily, where the networks are making geographic or, well, I guess, timing mistakes?
Well, what we're finding with our clients so far is that typically, I mean, it does depend on how targeted your campaigns are, but for a typical, client that has, a fair bit of geo-targeting, so we're not talking about just, if they've broadly targeted, like, all of Google.com, all of North America, but, if they are fairly geo-targeted, a few parameters are set, we're typically seeing about a 5 to 10% error rate. So that's 5 to 10% of your ad spend that you're able to get back every month.
Now, what differences are you noticing between the advertisers who are just going with the search, let's say in Google's case, just showing up their ads on Google versus advertisers who may be going into the content network as well?
Right. Well, obviously, as soon as you get onto the content network, then we're finding a much higher that percentage is increasing for sure. So we might the number might be closer to I hate throwing out these numbers, because you're just I think I just said A. Oh, so Canadian.
it's okay. They love us for it.
What was that?
They love us for it.
Okay, awesome. Okay, you won't tease me too much. Good. I think typically, if we're getting out onto the content network, then we're seeing definitely the closer to that 10% or even higher, actually. We've had some clients that have seen upwards to 15, 20% in their, on the content network versus just, on Google, for example, we might see something lower to, 4 or 5%, something like that.
Now, is there a correlation between advertisers that you've noticed, and you may or may not have been looking towards this, but when advertisers are adjusting their bids separately onto the content network, so they're pulling their bids down for the content network and leaving it higher onto the actual search network, are you noticing differences in the fraud rates there? When people drop their bids to the content network, does the fraud rate go down? I'm just hoping to get a bit of a better idea of where is this fraud specifically coming from as far as your tools are detecting.
I'm not so sure that I can answer that question necessarily. And again, I think we're starting to use that fraud word again. We have some capabilities in our service to detect fraud, but really, we're just talking about those mistakes made on the end of the ad provider. So I'm not quite sure if I can properly answer that question at this point.
If you don't mind, I can jump in with a quick answer to that. To get quote-unquote fraud, a couple of things have to happen. The fraudster has to make the click, and Google or Yahoo or whomever has to charge for the click. Now, if that click isn't charged, but it's recorded, well, Google hasn't charged for it, therefore no fraud has happened whatsoever. If that click is charged but later found and refunded, then you can't very well claim that's you can claim there was an attempted fraud that happened, but not an actual realistic act of fraud. Now, I was speaking on the phone. I did an interview yesterday with Ryan Sherbistoff from Panda Security, a fellow I spoke with maybe 13, 14 months ago about clickbots. And while he was stating to agreeing with John Mayers from SES last week that there are definitely more bot networks out there, he's suggesting their focus is moving away from active click fraud and more into ID theft and into phishing attempts. So while we haven't broken the back of quote unquote click fraud, I think the networks have been far more cognizant and aware of it in the last year. And they're definitely limiting the bad quality clicks. But again, having worked with PPC Assurance for several months now, I know that we're finding a lot of mistakes they're making. But again, a mistake is a mistake. That doesn't necessarily equate to fraud. I don't know if that clarifies at all, but I hope it was close.
I think that covers it quite well. Now, I have another question for Emily, who I know is a little more involved with sort of the internal workings here. How easy, when you do have an issue, and you have detected that, some mistakes have been made and you've been charged for clicks that you just shouldn't be paying for, I know your tools provide a reporting mechanism just to make things a lot easier for your users to actually report and receive refunds. How easy are the engines to work with when you're having to do one of these reports? And what sort of success ratio can people start to expect when you're reporting these issues and these mistakes?
Well, we're very excited to be able to say that we've had 100% success so far with our refund claims with the engines. I mean, we've had, you know, we're having a few issues. We, you know, like anything, you will often have to sort of you know, work through the different layers, and you kind of get the runaround sometimes. But you know, at the end of the day, we've been really pleased that so far all of our that we've had 100% success rate with all of our submissions so far. So. And I don't know if I didn't mention this earlier, but one thing as far as the submissions go is that we're the only ones out there to have a one-click refund button. So we automatically populate the entire form for you, so that it's a really easy process. So we do that's completely automated on our end, so that it's super easy for our clients to submit these refund claims, and then we can typically expect anywhere from 7 days up to 3 weeks to get that money back.
Now, Emily, I'm afraid we have to move on. I'm getting a message from the studio that we have to close in about 10 minutes at the outside. I could see Brasco sitting in his chair, pulling his hair out, going, "No, Jim, I said 5 minutes." But I want to let people know that Dave went and put a PPC Assurance code for a free month for a trial at PPC Assurance. He threw that into the Webmaster Radio chat room. I'm just going to read it out over the air. In capitals, it's PPC-Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, 2-1232. Just make sure, I've just been told to spell it again twice. It's PPC-Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, 2-1232. Go over to PPC Assurance, punch that in, get yourself a 1 month free trial, and friends, check out this product. It will make you money by saving you money. Emily, is there anything else you'd like to say to the audience before I'm afraid we have to let you go?
Yeah, no, well, big thanks to Dave and to Jim for having me on today, and also just that I believe there's somewhere on the website that I'll be able to put my contact details. Anyone is welcome to contact me with any further questions or feedback, or to get clarification on that free trial. So,
well, again, Emily, thank you for taking time to be on Webcology at Webmaster Radio. Friends, that was Emily Spence from Inquisit Search Metrics. Inquisit is the maker of PPC Assurance. Dave, we should jump back into your article again.
Okay, let's do that.
Now, I wanted to get Emily on because I know she'd been sitting on hold. But I kind of felt it was a little bit kiddy-wampus, where we started talking about monitoring, and we went straight from keyword research into monitoring. And there's a number of other steps that SEOs have to be aware of when running a PPC campaign, especially, again, if they tend to focus on the organic and they're dabbling in PPC. There's a number of very critical things that you mentioned in your article that they have to take into account.
Well, it's very true. I mean, it gets down into, like, even if you're just looking at what is your purpose, that'll have huge changes. And one of the big things that I've taken a look at for clients, we've done this many times in both different ways, where there's the old marketing saying, you know, you sell the sizzle, you don't sell the steak. Very, very true, and in print, in organic SEO campaigns is very true. You're creating your title, you're creating your description, bam, it costs you nothing per click. So you really need to just get as many visitors as you can. When you're running a pay-per-click campaign, that isn't the case. Now, there are definitely companies out there that have virtually endless budgets. And what they're trying to do, you know, where their campaign is being run for branding or any of these things, yes, they may be trying to just get that click to attract brand awareness. You may also be finding some keywords where, you know, you can bid like 10 cents and get a visitor and, you know, rank really well at 10 cents. Okay, great. You know, you sell the sizzle. But when we're dealing with our main sets of phrases, you know, the average advertiser has a limited budget. You know, I'm sure 99% of the people listening right now, if they are engaged in PPC campaigns, they have daily budgetary limits set. In that case, generally I tend to lean a lot more towards, no, you sell that steak. And on top of that steak, you put a great big red price tag on it. You let that person know as much as you can. And I use a couple examples in the actual article itself. Saying, you know, if we were gearing a pay-per-click campaign for our own company and we were putting it up there and we were doing it just for the PPC, I'd put a description like, you know, expert SEOs starting from, you know, $3,790. I want people to know that this is not a, like, $195 a month option or something like that, because I don't want people clicking if they're looking for that, whereas... if you're testing it a lot more for a organic campaign, which is what a lot of this article was about, you need to sell that sizzle, and it's going to kind of suck because you're going to be getting a lot of clicks from high school students, your competitors, blah, blah, blah. But you need to sell that sizzle because that's what you're going to try and do on your organic campaign. So you need to make sure that you're doing essentially the same thing on the PPC so that you're getting the same kind of traffic. And on that advertisement, you know, it would look like, you know, guaranteed SEO services is the title, affordable SEO services, consulting and training as a description or something like that. So you're trying to sell it the same way you would on the organic so you can attract the same visitors. Costs you a lot more money. Your conversion ratio is going to be a lot lower that route. However, what you're trying to do is just pull in the statistics to base an organic campaign around. So you're not really trying to make money on this PPC campaign. So the purposes are fundamentally different.
Well, that must affect, that obviously affects your bid rates, and it affects your testing will affect your spend. And this we have to run right on through. So tell us a little bit about bids, bid monitoring, and what's important to you.
Well, again, this does vary depending on your position. I tend, when we're dealing with clients, and you know them too, about 99% of them are going to have some limitations that would easily be blown through if they were just bidding into the high positions. They'd have their budget blown through by like 5 o'clock in the morning. So what I tend to like to do is create the ads, start the bids fairly low, like just so, you know, we know they're going to appear on the first couple pages of the results. I try not to make any assumptions about which keywords are going to convert, so I keep the bids roughly equal. You know, ones with buy phrases in them, I might have a little bit higher, but then slowly increase them. The goal in that case when you're running a PPC campaign just for its own right is really to run out, in my opinion, I'm sure there's intelligent people who disagree, but from my experience, the goal here is to run out of your budget as close to that 24th hour in the day as possible. What that tells me is I have maximized my number of clicks with that daily allowance. If I run it at 5 o'clock, I know I could have dropped my bids down, extended the campaign further into the day, and gotten more clicks out of the campaign in that day. When I'm running running it as a test for an organic, however, the goal is totally different. The client has to be prepped to just bleed money, but they're going to only be doing that for a couple weeks while you're pulling in data. What you need to do in that case is make sure that when you're bidding this thing to appear near the top of the search engine results, either in, you know, in the case of Google, either in the set of results that appears above the organic or, you know, right near the top of the right-hand side results, because you need to sort of mimic the traffic behavior you're going to get when you're ranking highly on the organic sets of results. So you need to kind of be prepared to bleed money for a little while. Because you're not going to be really gearing your advertising right. You're not going to be building landing pages. You want to see what happens when they just land on your site. So you got to be prepped for that. But going in knowing you're only going to do this for a couple weeks, you're just pulling in some stats, and in the long run, it's going to save you potentially months of headaches and lost time and incorrect targeting on your organic campaign, and that's going to be a lot more expensive than this couple weeks of running a PPC campaign to test your organic results.
Okay, now I'm afraid we're going to have to blast past filters. We could talk for an hour about filters easily. And we've already discussed tracking and stats. You mentioned landing page and landing page optimization. And in your article, as you say yourself, you're an expert in algorithms, not necessarily in making gorgeous landing pages. But you do cite Two articles. One by the incredible Frederick Towns from W3Edge, landing page usability, and another by your friend of mine, Jonathan Mendez, Seven Rules on Landing Page Optimization.
These are great articles.
These two guys have stood out for you.
They really have. Now, I've looked at a bunch of stuff, and actually, ironically, this morning when I got in, there was an interesting take in the High Rankings Advisor newsletter. There was also some interesting information, so to our listeners, go. Yeah, I'm sure most of you have already subscribed to the thing, but go out, take a peek at the most recent newsletter on their site, and there's some an interesting take on it there. I haven't had a chance to fully analyze it, so I won't get into the full details, but I have taken a skim of it, and it is worth a read, and I'll be reading it after our show here today. But as far as historical, of all the articles that I have seen thus far that are more general on landing page optimization, these two really did stand out as sort of providing information that is global. Like, there's a lot of landing page optimization articles that, yes, if you're doing this, then they work, or yes, if you're doing this, or you're in this industry, then yes, this applies. These two articles really cover a broad spectrum and really can apply to virtually every campaign that's requiring landing pages. So I really liked these two. And then, yeah, I also linked to Wikipedia, which there's a part of me that hates to do that, but nonetheless, they give them good definitions.
Anyway, just so for listeners who may be newer to the industry, just so you know, the high ranking newsletter comes out of Jill Whalen's office. And if we had more time, I would love to tease Jill about an article that she wrote earlier today about the need or lack thereof for standards in the search marketing industry. But I'm not going to. Oh boy, do I wish I could, because I had some great lines prepared for that, but I'm not going to because we don't have time. Dave, is there anything else we have to get in here about PPC as it relates to SEO?
All I can really say, and at the bottom of the article I actually provide is, but like organic, a lot of people tend to view PPC, they read up, you know, one little on it, and in they go. PPC is constantly changing. Pay attention to those alerts that the engines are sending you about changes. As you pointed out, there was a really important one from Monday. If you didn't read those alerts, you wouldn't see it, and your campaign could suffer. Read a lot, pay attention to the forums, and test out different tactics constantly, because your industry is different than mine, and which is different than industry X. So you really need to do a lot of testing. Don't take even what I've written, don't take this as the gospel. Read it. Read the resources we reference. Go and find your own resources. It's like organic. There's a million different ways, and you need to be aware of all the information that's out there.
Absolutely, Dave. That was a good article you wrote. You had 3,300 words in a night. Well done, brother. This is Jim Hedger from the boardroom at MetaMen.com, and on behalf of Dave Davies from his office at Beanstalk-Inc.com, check out next week's show. We're going to be talking about statistics and analysis in search engine optimization. We're going to have some great guests. And check out the companion articles over at webpronews.com. Special thanks to them. And a special thanks to our producer today, Brasco, for putting up with our stuff from the booth. This is, again, Jim Hedger at MetaMen.com and Dave Davies at Beanstalk-Inc. You've been listening to WebCology at WebmasterRadio.fm. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for some amazing, amazing B2B content here on WebmasterRadio.fm.